And what I'm going to share with you, the first teaching of 2007, is the subject I've entitled, The Privilege of Giving. The Privilege of Giving. And tonight I'm going to specifically talk about financial giving. Because you can give in many ways. You can give of your life, you can give of your talents, you can give of your abilities. But I'm going to talk about financial giving in the church. Financial giving in the church today is both a privilege and a responsibility of the saints. It's the privilege and the responsibility of the saints. The word privilege, according to the dictionaries, means a special advantage or benefit not enjoyed by all. It's a special blessing, a special advantage, a special benefit. However, it's not enjoyed by all. So that means in order to receive the blessing, one must give. You see? Because if you don't, it's the privilege, you don't operate. You don't place yourself in the position to enjoy the blessing. And it depends on the individual. What we give exposes the true feelings of our hearts, regardless of what we say or what we think. What we give exposes the true feelings of our heart, regardless of what we say or what we think. Now, first of all, I would like to go into the scriptures, and I would like to see if it is, in fact, God's will for man to give, because I want to establish if it's the will of God for a man or for a woman to give. And to do this, you could go to many places, but I like to go to Genesis chapter 14. I'm going to share with you two records out of Genesis, and I'd like to let you know that both of these records are before the giving of the law to Moses, before the law administration. In Genesis 14, Abram went after his nephew, who was in some trouble, and the people along with his nephew, and they took their livestock, and he went, and he recovered everything that he went after. And coming back from that, beginning at verse 18, Abram, he goes, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine." He was the priest of the Most High God. Melchizedek was a representative of God. And he, Melchizedek, blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, who is the possessor of the heavens and the earth. And blessed he the Most High God, and blessed be the Most High God, excuse me, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he, Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. Abram was thankful to God, and he demonstrated his gratefulness in giving to God's representative. Because Abram had just come back from this battle, and it could have went either way. And it was favorable, and he was blessed, and he was grateful, and he knew that the Lord was in the mix, and he was grateful to the Lord. And to show his appreciation and thanksgiving to God, he gave to the representative of God. Now in Genesis chapter 28, I want you to note that God was blessed with the offering too. Because there are segments in the Word of God where you can go where someone wants to give something And the man of God or the representative for God will say, no, I don't want this. However, that's not the case here. Melchizedek received the blessing that Abram offered. In Genesis 28, beginning in verse 20, Jacob, having gone through some things in his life, vowed the vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again unto my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. That's all he wanted. He wanted bread to eat and raiment to put on. Something to eat and something to wear. That was a simple need. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob did the same. Jacob was thankful, and he recognized God's providence in his life. And he said, of everything that you give me, I'm going to give the tenth back to you. See, he recognized that that which he had, that which he received, he accredited God with giving it to him. That's when we're mindful of God and we're in partnership with God, when we're in relationship and fellowship with God. We recognize God does things for us. We recognize that this is of God. He's given it to me. I want to reciprocate. Both Abram and Jacob were before the law, but sad to say that some Christians today like to misuse scriptures to shroud their hearts. One of the scriptures they like to misuse is Galatians 5:18, where it says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And you'll always find that the individual who squawks about giving is the individual who is not giving, because they have to defend their error. And they come up with scriptures like, we're not under the law. Well, Abram wasn't under the law, and neither was Jacob. And they both gave. See? I'd like you to go to Proverbs, please, chapter 3. Many years ago, when we were moving along with the things of God, we never questioned giving. We knew it was right. We knew the scriptures. Now, what had happened was the institution went bad that we were supporting. And once the institution goes bad, you have a spiritual obligation because your money ties you to that group. And if you continue to support a group who teaches error and produces error, then spiritually that has consequences to you. For instance, if we wrote a check tomorrow to the homosexual committee of Valley Forge to promote their agenda. If you continued to share with Chapter and Verse Ministry as we act in that sinful way, you are condoning what we support. You understand? You have a spiritual obligation to say, no, that's not the way it's going to be. We don't. That's wrong. That's sin. The Word of God says that homosexuality is wrong. It's sin. Whether it's male or female, it's wrong and it's sin. Now what had happened was, once many of the people of God realized that the ministry that they have grown to love wasn't lining up with the scripture anymore, they did a lot of different things. One of the things they did, which is sad, which was common in a lot of areas, is they stopped giving. They looked at the opportunity as they left, quote unquote, as an opportunity to stop giving and having more for themselves, so they thought. A lot of them have a predominant attitude that I stand with no one or no ministry. Okay? I want to go here, I want to go there, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want freedom, I stand with Christ, you know? And all that is a bunch of crap that they speak out of fear. Because of the lack of commitment in their hearts and the lack of trust that they have towards the one true God, they place themselves in a position that they don't make a commitment anymore, that they don't make a decision anymore, and that they don't support financially anymore any ministry. And see, I can talk about this real freely because you have never once ever and never will once ever hear me speak about finances with regards to looking for money. Because I could care less. I don't even look. My wife does it. I couldn't tell you where, why, whatever, who. None of my business. It is, but I don't do that. And I do that because it helps me stay neutral. Okay? But if you're receiving this tape or CD and you are somewhere and you are not financially sharing to a ministry of God, then you have been deceived and tricked out of God's word. See? I didn't say chapter and verse. I said to the ministry of God that God's called you to stand in and grow in and fellowship with. See, because I'm not naive enough or stupid enough or demonized enough to think that I got all the answers or that I'm the only whatever. Okay? But don't tell me that there's not a ministry out there that you can't financially share with. Don't tell me that. That is a lie. You just don't want to give. No matter what your heart says, or no matter what you convince yourself of, you just don't want to give because you are selfish and you have been tricked out of God's word. Shoot, you can give to the stupid Red Cross or the Salvation Army if it comes to that. There's somebody out there doing God's will, doing God's work. And perhaps at one time you would tithe faithfully or you would give faithfully. But now because you've removed yourself from a circumstance or a situation or a ministry, you've placed yourself in a position where no one oversees you, you don't have to answer to anybody, and you know what? Consequently, you don't have to be worried about anybody knowing your business. So you don't have to give. And you can run around all you want, and you can quote all the verses you want about how you're free in Christ, and you don't stand with any man, that you stand with Jesus, and that's a crock. You ever see the disciples say that about Jesus? We don't stand with you, Lord, we stand for God. You know? But people spew these things out of their mouth. And I'm not upset. And I'm not trying to upset anybody. But if you're upset because of what I'm sharing, it's because you don't give. And I didn't say you don't give to me. I just said you don't give. And when you don't give, you can't get blessed. Because it's your privilege to give. And a privilege is a special advantage or benefit not enjoyed by all. And if it's not being enjoyed by you, it's because you are not giving. That's why. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. In doing so, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Verse 9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Financial giving is your expression of honor and glory to the Lord. Financial giving is a direct result, an outflowing, a manifestation of you trusting God. Show me a person that doesn't give, and I'll show you a person that doesn't trust God. I'll show you a person that doesn't think that God will take care of him. I'll show you a person who doesn't believe the Scripture. I'll show you a person who's afraid. That says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Okay. Is giving one of your ways? Should be, if you're going to be on the Scriptures. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, if you're trusting God, and you're not leaning to your own understanding, kind of like, well, if I give this, I'm not going to have enough to buy my carton of cigarettes. See, that's leaning to your own understanding. That's not God directing your path. That's not trusting God. When you give, it is a manifestation. It is a result. It is your declaration to the spirit realm. I trust God. I love God. I'm honoring God. How am I honoring God? I'm giving to Him. I'm giving to Him. How do you give to Him? You give to His representatives. You give to the ministry that has blessed you and that you're growing with. Does that mean my ministry? No. That means the ministry. Whatever the ministry is for you. See? Now, how are you going to get out of this teaching? Because I'm going to make it real hard for you. See, because if I say Nick's ministry or chapter and verse, then you get off on your horse. Oh, he wants this, he thinks this, he thinks. I'm not saying that, though. I'm saying the ministry, where you're at, whatever state it is, whatever country it is, whatever affiliations you have, where are you at? Are you giving faithfully to that place or a place that has blessed you? And if you're not, why aren't you? Why aren't you? There's no good reason, by the way, if you're not. It's sin. It's fear. You're not trusting God. You're full of fear. And the Word of God says fear is sin. And when you get real clever about it, and you get real calloused about it, and you get real egotistical and arrogant about it, you better check that that fear is not spiritual fear. Because if it's linked to spiritual fear, then you got a real problem. Because you always get the ones that are prideful and real arrogant to defend their error. Because that demon doesn't want to lose its happy home. It's got to defend its right to be in that person and suck the life out of that person. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Familiar to all of you, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Sure. Well, this is the way that you express your trust in the Lord. Financial giving is your way of putting God to the test, proving God, to see if He will prove true to His Word. Will He take care of you or won't He? Will He bless you or won't He? Is His Scriptures true or are they not? And when you get to talking about finances, you get to the real core of the heart of people. See? Remember that I said that financial giving is in the church today is both a privilege and a responsibility for the saints. And remember I told you that a privilege is a special advantage or benefit not enjoyed by all? Let me tell you what a responsibility is. A responsibility, according to the dictionary, is a social force that binds you to your obligations and the courses of actions demanded by that force. And in our case, I'd like to say it's a spiritual force. It's a social force that binds you to your obligations, and the courses of action demand it by that force. That's responsibility. You are bound. And then you are bound and demanded of by those guidelines, those rules, the Word of God in our context, to courses of action. And in this particular context, the course of action would be to give financially, because it blesses you. Well, we saw that in the Old Testament times that men gave to God and to the representatives of God. Now, I want to see if it's God's will for the church to continue to give today. And I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, please. And I'm going to read you this translation out of the New International Version. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 says, "Now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do." Now he's telling the Corinthian churches, "I want you to do the same thing that I told the churches in Galatia to do. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." This gives us very important insight with regards to money. One of the keys here we see is that on the first day of every week, verse 2. If you wait until you have extra to give, or if you wait until you can give out of what you have left, you will never learn to trust God. It's bigger than just giving. You'll never learn to trust God in that area. You're cutting God off right from the get-go from the opportunity to work in your life to see if you could trust Him to bless you. You understand? You're not even giving God a chance. It'd be different if God showed up, you said, okay, you got a chance, and He failed you. But God's showing up, and you won't even open the door. You won't even give Him a chance. You just shut the door in His face. Because I will guarantee you there will always be something that your money can go to. And it doesn't necessarily have to be even a godly thing. It could be something stupid. Stupid. The believers were instructed to give on the first day of the week. Now, isn't this in keeping with seeking the kingdom of God, what? First? Isn't this with keeping, with honoring the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of thine increase? That's why the scripture says on the first day of every week. It's in keeping with keeping God first. You keep Him first, we're endeavoring, we're supposed to keep God first in every area of our life, right? Well, financial area is just another area of our life. So we want to endeavor to keep Him first. And the apostle tells the churches, the Christian churches to which you and I are a part of today, this is the best way to do it. On the first day of every week. Now for them that would have been what? Sunday. Because Saturday was their Sabbath. Sunday they would take the money in proportion to what they were earning. It doesn't say 3%, it doesn't say 50%. It says in proportion to what they were earning, what they could give. Okay? And they were to lay that aside. And one of the reasons was, he says, because when I come, there are no collections for me. In other words, they didn't have to scrounge around at the last moment when Paul came and say, well, you know, can we buy this guy dinner tonight and buy his camel some straw or whatever camels eat? Right? It's simply placing God first when you lay aside the first day of the week. And that's where He really belongs, doesn't He? It's placing God first in your finances. It's in all thy ways acknowledging him. You're acknowledging him first in your finances. And see, again, this got nothing to do with chapter and verse. It's got everything to do with you and God. You believing God's word. You trusting God. You giving God the opportunity to bless you financially. So if you're somewhere in another state, or even if you're here and you're not giving, then you're doing something wrong. You're sinning. You're in fear. You're lying to cover it. If you got a good excuse why you're not giving. Because the word gives no good excuses. It gives a lot of excuses, but it gives no good ones. So stop doing it. So what did I say? Give to me? Nope. I don't want your stupid money. Unless you're blessed to give it. What I'm saying is, trust God. Give to somewhere. And like I said, your gifts spiritually tie you to those that you give them to. If you want to give to the gay rights, then you're spiritually going to receive the blessings and benefits, if there are any, of the gay rights. You got to give where your money's going to move the scriptures, the word, and to where you're being blessed and where you're being fed. And if that's in California at a little fellowship or at a church, then that church you should be supporting. That fellowship you should be supporting. If you don't have a fellowship and you hear tapes or you hear something from somewhere, then that's where you should be giving. Or go find yourself a local church. But don't run around for the rest of your life saying, I'm not getting committed to nowhere. I'm not going to do that. You know what? I'm so sick of that crap. That's nothing but a stupid spirit speaking out of the mouth of those people that say those words. And you want to know something else? I'll tell you something else. I have never met one person who has ever given me that line of crap that has had their life together. And as a minister, they have required more time and they have caused more problems than people who are settled, who are giving, who are having problems but working through them. It's always the ones that are never rooted and grounded. Would you plant a tomato plant like that? You know, I let it come out in springtime. I want to see how you guys do your gardens. And then I want to come out a week later after you put your plants in, and I want to grab it. I'm just going to jump around. I think the grass is better over here. Now I'm going to come back next week. I'm going to pull it down. I'm going to put it over here because it looked better over here. Does anything get rooted and grounded like that, let alone produce fruit? You know why people can't get fruit produced in their life? Many of them? Because they don't get committed to God. They don't get committed to any ministry of God. And they don't stay in one place long enough or stay grounded long enough to get roots down, to get the nutrients out of the ground to produce fruit. They're always hopping here, yonder, and pillar. Listening to this tape, this ministry, this book, that one, that one. That, before you know it, it's every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. Jesus himself said, look, be hot or be cold. Don't be in the middle. It's better to be wrong than to be in the middle. Because if you're wrong, at least you can say, oh, I blew it. I got to go make a right. I made a left. But if I sit there and look at the fork for the rest of my life, what good is that doing to me? It's not, is it? No. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Man, if I was afraid to make a mistake, I wouldn't get out of bed. I make lots of mistakes. But at least I have the learning from that mistake so that I can call my own. Okay, so I go back, I make a right now instead of a left. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're looking to see if it's God's will for men and women to give financially in the church. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I believe this is the NIV also. Could be wrong, but I think it is. Each man should give, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctant or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What have you decided in your heart to give? Not reluctant or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Anybody has ever had a child and said to the child, go take the trash out, please. And 45 minutes later, you're still listening to every... Now, I want you to understand that the kitchen's here and the porch is there, because all you got to do is open the door and put the stupid thing in the can, which is from here to Steve at about 15 feet away. And 45 minutes later, you're still listening to the child tell you why... trash out. Anybody have a child like that? Maybe not with trash, but with something. And then finally, the child says, all right, I'll do it. And you know what you want to say at that point? The H with you, I'll do it myself. God doesn't want a reluctant giver. Your minister's going to browbeat you. Oh, fine, I'll give. Here. And you're holding on to it as you're putting it in the horn. That's not the heart of giving. You've missed it. You've missed it. Don't try and make things out of my words either. I didn't say anything about tithing. I didn't say anything about an amount. I didn't say anything about a percentage. What I said was what the word says. It says give. What do you purpose in your heart? None of my business. If you only purpose in your heart $10 a year and that's good between you and God, and it's legit, hey, maybe for some people that are whatever, that's fine. But do your $10 a year and do it faithfully. But if you got $10 a year and you live in a $450,000 home, there's something wrong somewhere. You got the wrong God. You're making someone wrong. I'm going to say God. Now let me get into that one. God is able, verse 8, to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The amount that you decide to give is between you and God. It's not my business. The amount that you give is determined by your heart. It's determined by your heart. Understand? And anybody, remember I said what we give exposes the true feelings of our heart regardless of what we think or say? It's wearing your heart out on the stage. It's for everyone to see. For everyone to see. And it's not really for everyone to say, it's just between you and God. When you love somebody, you don't have a problem giving them something, do you? Sometimes you have a problem giving them too much. I just want to buy you this. I just want to give you this. Because it's an expression of what? How you feel. But if you tell someone, I love you, 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 and you've never even bought this guy a Coke, after 15 years, I'd be questioning how much you love me. Right? James chapter 2, verse 14, New International says, what good is it, my brethren, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Verse 15, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and be well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Verse 17 of James 2. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. It's dead. Giving exposes the true feelings of your heart, regardless of what you say or you think. You don't have to convince me of how spiritual you are. You don't have to convince me of how much you're learning. You don't have to convince me of how whatever when I see that you don't give. See, because I see the truth of your heart. Now, I didn't say, I see that you don't give the chapter and verse. I didn't say that. I said, I see that you don't give. And if I see you don't give, I see you don't trust God. Because the word says that you should give of your first fruits and all of thy increase, right? Because it says, trust the Lord with all thine heart. And you're getting ripped off. For you, you will never experience the blessing of God in that area of your life because you will not operate those principles to see God, to prove God. You just won't. Just like a person who will never cast out a spirit. You may know about it. You may believe in it. You may even think about doing it. But if you never get yourself to the place where you actually engage, you will never receive that benefit or blessing from God. You won't experience it. It's the same with financial. You may know about it. You may think about it. You may even think about doing it. But unless you do it, you will never get to see how God will work. You just never will. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. It was the Philippian church that gave. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. Remember, a privilege. It's a special advantage or benefit, but it's not enjoyed by all. And a responsibility, the social force that binds you to your obligations and the courses of actions demanded by that force. The collection of money in the Bible was used for several reasons. I'm going to give you several of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 11. It says, if we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all more? But we do not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than to hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those that work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those that serve at the altar share in what is offered at the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. One of the reasons money was collected in the early church was to support the ministers. Romans chapter 15, verse 26. For it had pleased them, a Macedonia and Achaia, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Another reason why money was given in the early church was to help the poor. 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and specifically, or specially, for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Take care of your family. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. These words, be taken into the number, is the word enrolled. To be enrolled into a program that the church had, to be part of that program. And there were duties with that program, whether it was helping the poor, helping the ministry, helping whatever. But a widow had to be at least 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for her good works. If she had brought up children, if she had lodged strangers, if she had washed the saints' feet, if she had relieved the afflicted, if she had diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. Don't bring them into the fold. Don't enroll them. For when they had begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will what? They still got life in them and vigor. They might want a man. So don't get involved with that. Not that that's wrong, but this is, these other people were past that point in their life. So money was used to help widows. This is the New Living Translation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But if anyone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need and refuses to help, how can God's love be in that person? You'd be amazed that the amount of money that people will spend, but they won't put $5 in an envelope and send it to a ministry. Or they won't put $5 in the collection plate or $10 in the collection plate every Sunday. And you would be amazed at the amount of money those people spend on TVs, on apparel, on cars, on pedicures, manicures, whatever kind of cures. You'd be amazed. What are you doing? You know, you go out and spend $2,000 on a stupid computer but won't put a $5 bill for the work of God. What are you doing? Are you storing up treasure for the kingdom? Are you storing up treasure in heaven where moth and rust don't break in and corrupt? When you give, that's what you're doing. You're investing in the bank of heaven. And the bank of heaven has rich dividends. And the bank of heaven will never go broke. Because it's not FDI insured, it's DOD insured. And he will repay you. In the kingdom to come, in the age abiding time to come, in the time of restitution, in the future kingdom, you will be repaid. Where are you putting your money at? People just get talked out of it. 2 Corinthians 9:12, the Bible in basic English says, "For the work of giving not only takes care of the needs of the saints, listen, but is the cause of much praise to God." Giving results in God receiving praise? That's something? Listen to it again. "For the work of giving not only takes care of the needs of the saints, but is the cause of much praise to God." Do you want God to receive much praise? Well, if you want God to receive much praise and you're not giving, what are you doing? Verse 13. "For when, through this work of giving, they see what you are." They see what you are. "They give glory to God for the way in which you have given yourselves to the good news of Christ and for the wealth of your giving to them and to all." The manifestation, they see the giving of it, the believers. And they see the way that you've given yourself to the good news of Christ. What does that mean? You believe the gospel. And the wealth of your giving to them and to all. While their hearts go out to you in love and prayer for you because of the great grace of God which is in you. You sit back and say, "Oh, isn't that sweet?" You know, sometimes, you know, we'll just, well, come home and we'll get a letter from a person from some portion of the country and it'll just say whatever, whatever, and it'll be a little blessed note and they'll just put a check in there. And we just sit back sometimes and we say, "Oh, isn't that so sweet? Isn't that a blessing?" You know? And what do? I put it right into the whatever. I don't touch it. Even if it's made out to me, I'll stamp it. Deposit in the chapter and verse. Isn't that so sweet? It's a blessing. "Praise be to God for what he has given, which words have no power to say." Money was given to help the saints. It was given to help the saints. Judges 21:25 says, in those days there was no king of Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And today, in many places, it's the same way. It's the same way. One, because the ministers haven't fully recovered, and they don't want to speak, thus saith the Lord, because of the abuse that was associated with thus saith the Lord. Number one, first and foremost, the blame has to go on the minister, myself included. That's where it lies first. And two, because the people have been hurt and haven't fully recovered and don't want to trust anymore. They may say they trust. They may say, I love you. They may say a lot of things. But like I told you, giving shows the true intent of your heart and condition of your heart, regardless of what you say or think. It's got to be in the proof. It's got to be in the fruit. It's got to be in the fruit. Matthew 6. We're going to close there. The Revised Standard of Proverbs 11:14 reads, where there is no guidance, a people fall. But in the abundance of counselors, there is safety. There is safety. Look, if you are teeter-tottering between this person, that person, and this ministry and that ministry, do yourself a favor. Get committed to God and pick somewhere to stand and support. I didn't say here. I said somewhere. And then you will be able to grow. You will be able to be blessed. But if you keep hopping around from here, there, pillar post, and yonder, you're greatly deceived. You're greatly deceived. You're afraid of commitment. You're afraid to trust. You're afraid to give your heart, your dedication, your efforts. You know, if a person is like that, how are they going to grow into the body of Christ, into governments, ministries, or helps, or meets, or anything like that? Because you know why? Because tomorrow they might be gone. Where's our AV guy? I don't know. He's over at the Baptist church tonight. Every other week he goes to Baptist. He'll come here every once a week, then he'll go to the Lutheran church. You know, how's the church going to function? What if you're on a train and your conductor decided to be like that? Where's the conductor? I don't know. Casey went away. Casey Jones. Driving that train. Right? Matthew 6, verse 27. Which one of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And that's what it really boils down to. People have such little faith. They really don't think that God will take care of them. Takes care of a stupid woodpecker in my tree. Two woodpeckers in my tree. Take care of them in January, and they're still eating. And a stupid skunk that I smelled this morning when I went outside takes care of the skunk. And the skunk took care of somebody who got too close to him. And yet God won't take care of you. Wherefore take ye thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you're going to seek the kingdom of God first, then place God first in all the priorities of your life. Place him first in your marriage. Would anybody beg to argue with me if I would make the statement, I think you should put God first in your marriage. Do you think that that's a good, sound, biblical statement? Nobody would dare argue that one, would they? If I said, I think you should place God first in your family, would anybody dare argue that one? If I said, I think you should place God first in your prayer life, why don't you put God first in your job life? Why don't you put God first in your personal devotion? Would anybody argue with any of those statements? No, it'd be retarded. It'd be stupid. Then why would you dare argue when I would say to you, place God first in your finances? You know, now we got the hair standing up on the cat's back. Wow. No. It's okay to make God first in my marriage, I guess. It's okay to make God first in my family. Yeah, that's good. Finances? See? And if this is abrasive or it's irritating to you, it's not because I want to be abrasive or irritating. Maybe the unbelief in your life is being abrasive and irritating and aggravating you, okay? Because I'm not asking you for your money. And this tape will go out all over the country. And I hope and believe that the people that need to hear it, hear. Because I'm teaching it for you. You need to get off your butt. You need to make a decision and get committed. And I didn't say to me. I said get committed to God. And serve in a ministry. Serve in a church. Serve in a fellowship. And support that fellowship. Whatever one it may be. It could be the Lulu Temple for all I care. But if they're teaching Jesus Christ and you're blessed there, then that's where you need to be. And stop making excuses for why you don't give. If next time you say, I don't give, why don't you just come out and be honest and say, I don't believe the scriptures. I'm afraid. I'm full of fear. I don't want to trust God. Because that is synonymous with saying, I don't give. That is synonymous with saying, I don't stand with any ministry. That is synonymous with saying that I don't stand with any. That's what it is. You don't trust that God's big enough to show you and work in you and bless you. You'll go through your lifetime to and fro, to and fro, to and fro. You'll be like a ping pong ball, dizzy, and you won't grow. Okay? So my exhortation is that you would, you know, just believe God and give Him the privilege of being first in your finances. And give Him a chance. Prove Him. Test Him. See if He won't bless you. And you know what? Once you sow your seed, give it a chance to produce fruit. Okay? Don't go out there tomorrow and look where's the tomato. Farmers don't do that, do they? Stay put long enough to let God work. Let Him work. Father, thanks for Your Word. Thanks for the truth of it. And thank You, Father, that if it's upsetting to people, then so be it, because it's Your scriptures, and it is the truth of Your Word, Father. And maybe people need to check where their heads are and their hearts are in this area. Father, I thank You that we can keep You first in every endeavor in life, and that includes our finances. Thanks for this evening and each person that will hear this tape across the country. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.